Today on The Grave Talks, the hauntings of the 1889 McIntyre Villa with owner Stephanie O'Reilly. Nestled at the intersection of 13th Street and Kansas Avenue in Atchison, Kansas, stands the majestic McIntyre Villa. Constructed in 1889 by Irish immigrant John McIntyre, this historic mansion has woven itself into the fabric of local lore with its tales of unexplained hauntings. From lights flickering mysteriously to children laughing and ghostly apparitions, the McIntyre Villa has long captured the imagination of those drawn to the supernatural, including Stephanie O'Reilly. When she realized this stately mansion was for sale, she became obsessed. And in 2018, she and her father became the proud owners of this incredible piece of history, along with all of its hauntings. However charming its exterior may appear, the McIntyre Villa holds many ghostly secrets. There's an undeniable mystique surrounding it, hinting at a bond that keeps spirits lingering within its confines while enticing the living to venture to Atchison, Kansas, in search of paranormal encounters. Today on The Grave Talks, the 1889 McIntyre Villa with owner Stephanie O'Reilly. So, Steph, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so looking forward to this conversation.
Oh, I am too. Thank you.
You are very welcome. Atchison, there's no N in it in the middle. Atchison and Wichita aren't that far apart. We're both in Kansas. You have the more haunted city. And we were talking a minute ago before I hit record about why it's so haunted. And I really haven't been able to figure out why the city is so haunted. But when you look up hauntings in Atchison, Kansas, oh, it's like this place, this place, this place. It's fascinating. Yes.
It really is. And it's not, and obviously it's not just the places that are listed. I have a friend who lives on the street over, and sometimes when I'm investigating a different location or just happen to be out of town, she'll check people in for me. But she has, her and her husband have rental locations in Atchison. I think quite a few of them, but they would tell me that they're, the people who rent from them would say, the basement is haunted or the cabinets are opening up or this or that. And I just think there are way more, well, I'm sure there are way more haunted places than, I'm probably making zero sense, than just the ones that are listed. I just think like all downtown, there's a story. There's just, there's activity. There's, somebody had mentioned a little boy named Thomas at one location downtown Atchison. And I was like, oh, I've been told that there's a little Thomas at my house. And so then I started thinking, do they travel to other places in Atchison, just stay in Atchison? Or I know because people say like hitchhiking or this or that, going home with me or whatever. But I'm wondering if that's, if they just like go from location to location in Atchison, like they're still just going about town. That just going about their business, like we're going to the store or the beauty shop or something. Yeah. I don't know.
And maybe there was a store like his grandparents might have owned or something. And he goes there. Because that's what
right.
he did.
It was an old beauty shop. So maybe that's why he was there. Maybe grandma was there or something. Maybe there's a reason he was there because, you know, why would a little boy be at a beauty shop?
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's I love the theories that people have. And then I don't really have a theory. I just think none of us really know what happens until we're dead.
Exactly. Yes, it makes total sense. But, I would love to know before then, but.
Yes, I would too. Because, you know, like people will say, like, when I change things and things happen, oh, well, they don't like it when you change things. I'm like, but how do we know? What if they're going, dang, Stephanie, that looks really good, and then just knock something off? They could be saying that.
They could.
So, yeah. So, anyway.
But Atchison is near a river, the Missouri River. So, it's a big river. It was a railroad town back in the day. I would also guess, since it is right along the river, there would be a lot of limestone, maybe?
Yes, that is correct.
Maybe it's things that attract the ghosts.
Maybe so.
I don't know. I always want to know why. But it's a fascinating town, and there's a lot of different locations. You happen to own one incredible haunted location there in Atchison. And it's called the 1889 McIntyre Villa.
Yep.
Okay, so this begs the question, how did you end up owning this magnificent mansion?
I want to say luck. I have gone to other locations, just, you know, me, my kid, a friend, whatever. You know, I don't have a team, anything like that. I had stayed with a friend at the Sally House, and I'm on 13th Street. Sally House is on 2nd Street. So we're basically neighbors, kind of. So I stayed at the Sally House and went back 2 weeks later because I rolled a ball. My friend freaked out. She didn't want to do anything. So I went back 2 weeks later. So I'm like, I'm getting my money's worth. Well, then back then you used to have to check in at the depot and they would, you know, you'd follow them over there and they'd let you in. Well, I went into the depot to check in and I'd been there 2 weeks prior. Someone had mentioned there's a house for sale and it's haunted. And my husband at the time, Jeff, we'll call him Jeff. He said, I'm putting my foot down. Heck no. And not those nice.
You can say hell. You can say hell no.
He's like putting my foot down. Hell no. And so not to be like, I'll show you, but there was just something about this house. I couldn't. I'm not obsessed with anything. I tell people that it's kind of sad. I'm not obsessed with anything, but there was something about this house I couldn't get enough of. Like I would get in my car. I live a little over an hour away. I'd get in my car and just drive out there and just look at it. I remember being on a cruise with my brother and his wife and just pulling up the house on Google because it was for sale and saying, oh my gosh, look at this. So when I got home from my cruise, I called my mom and I'm like, hey, as a joke, I'm like, hey, you want to co-sign on a haunted house? And like anybody would say, she's like, no. And she called my dad and she called me back like 5 minutes later and said, your dad will do it. And I'm like, what? I really never thought that it would even happen. But when he said he would do it, I was like, oh, okay. And so that's how that all got started. My dad co-signed and we bought the house January 2018. And I've had the house now 6 years.
And it is an incredible house. So this is it a Victorian style architecture?
It is. Some people say like Victorian, like Gothic, Victorian Gothic. I'm not sure. But yes, Victorian style house.
And it's really large. Like how big, how many square feet?
It has 5,200 square feet, 4 levels. When I say levels, I mean like there's the main floor, there's a second floor, there's a huge attic. And the attic is the size of the length of the house. It's a huge attic. And then the basement has 7 rooms.
And I do want to talk about the basement once we get into the paranormal stuff because
okay,
it's very, I was reading some interesting things about the basement. In fact, I'll just give everybody a little preview of what I'm going to ask you about because it was interesting because it says, the basement remains shrouded in mystery. Its purpose is unclear, with speculations ranging from illegal abortions to other dark deeds. So that's what we're going to talk about in a minute. It's like, I've never heard anybody describe a basement's purpose as being unclear. I've always thought of a basement as a basement, and you might have laundry storage down there. Maybe you got a nice family room. So I was like, that's so weird that the purpose is unclear.
I've never even heard that. That's a good way to word it, though, because I mean, it's way better than how I describe. I've described the whole house that way. I can't. And when I say I describe the house, I mean, I can't describe the house. But that's the same as the basement. I don't know if anything or I don't know what or if anything took place in the basement. I can tell you that 7 rooms. It's so dark down. Dark is in like just pitch black dark.
I bet.
You can't see your hand in front of your face. We have heard babies crying, men growls. A rock got thrown at me about 2 months ago when I was at the base in the basement by myself. I was actually in the house by myself, but I decided, yeah, I think I'll go home tonight. So I went ahead and went home. I was going to spend the night, but chose not to. and that's never happened before. But the basement, so I don't know what it was used for. So that's why unclear. Why were there 7 rooms? I don't know. There's one door. Now, there could have been more doors down there, but there's one door that is an original door. And behind that door, there are 2 rooms. And those rooms are the only ones with bars on the windows also. So that's kind of odd. So I don't know what the basement was used for. So I guess that's a pretty good description. Yeah. When I'm
I thought that was so interesting. So now the house itself was built in the late 1800s, correct? And can you tell us a little about the man who built it?
Absolutely. So it was built in 1889 for John McIntyre. He was a saddle and harness maker. He was from Ireland. Let's see. He wasn't, or he had a wife when he moved to Atchison. I believe he moved to Atchison in 1860. He learned his trade when he came over from Ireland. I believe the ship landed in Philadelphia. He studied his trade or learned his trade in Indiana. He married his first wife, Alice, in Ohio. Then they came to Atchison, and that's when he started his business. They built the house, or had the house built in 1889. It was finished in 1 year for $14,000. The architect is, his name was W. Angelo Powell, and he was pretty famous in St. Joseph, Missouri. He also helped design the Washington Monument and the Capitol building and the funeral car for Zachary Taylor, which I think is, I've never been a history person, but just until this house, then I start looking things up and I'm like, oh my gosh, that is so cool.
It really is.
The person who helped design the Washington Monument, you know, he was the architect for the villa.
For your house.
And it's crazy. So the house isn't built on, and I'm not good with north, south, east, or west, but it's not, the house isn't built on the rich side of town. So when people come into town, they see these, there are gorgeous houses all over Atchison, but there's one area and they're just huge and gorgeous and just perfect homes. And mine is, the villa's on the other side of the town, but he wasn't allowed to build his house on the rich side of town because he was from Ireland. The house was built, it's on a hill, not really a hill. Maybe it was more hilly back then when it was built, but it's got stained glass all around, and it's got his name etched in the back of the house, and it says McIntyre Villa, and it faces the rich side of town as an, I was told, as an FU, basically, because he had more money than they did, but he wasn't allowed to build his house on their side of town. That's pretty interesting.
That's really interesting, because usually money talks. You've got enough money, it's like, you bet, John, you can build your house right here.
Exactly,
but you know, there was a lot of pushback on people from Ireland.
Yes.
Back then. And so people probably thought, he's from Ireland, we can't trust him. You build that fantastic house over there so we don't have to be reminded of your immense wealth.
Right. And it seems, you know, like people will ask, well, why, if it was just the two of them, why such a big house? Why seven rooms and a basement? Why this, why that? And it could just be a person with an ego maybe saying, well, I have more money, I'm going to show you. Or maybe there were other intentions in the house. I have no idea. There's not much written on the villa, or I haven't found much anyway. So going back to the basement, just like, I don't know why there are seven rooms. I don't know why the house is so big for two people, but it could just be because he wanted to show off.
Yeah, because he could.
I mean, I know I would. I'd be like, you won't let me build over there, I'll show you. I mean, I get it.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yes.
And I would recommend anybody just look up a photo of it, because it is impressive. Like, it has a big turret on one side, and it's got lots of fireplaces in there, and it's just massive.
Oh my gosh, it is. Five fireplaces, all original. It had the original wood floors. When I bought the house 6 years ago, and I'm not saying this to put it down or anything, it had, like, you know, shag carpet. But the previous owners had purchased the house in 1969. They both passed away in the home, and then their four kids inherited the house. That's how it became, you know, that's how it was, or it became for sale. I guess maybe the four adult kids were probably just like, let's just sell it and move on. But their parents had the house since 1969. So it makes sense why it was, you know, shag carpet. But when we pulled the carpet up, the main floor hasn't even been sanded or anything. It's just been vacuumed. And it is, I mean, it's just gorgeous. Gorgeous floors. The upstairs has been finished. But again, all covered in shag. And so people will get on Zillow and type in the address, because they can actually see what it looked like when I bought it. And it does look completely different, but I'm glad that they had that carpet, because if they didn't, I mean, I couldn't even imagine what the floors would have looked like.
It protected
it.
It
was a boarding house. Yes, it protected it. And it was a boarding house for 27 years. I mean, so I'm sure it would have, it's seen a lot. It's been through a lot. So it's in, I think, really, really good shape for 135 years old.
Well, and when you bought it outside of the shag carpeting, which I'm so surprised you pulled up, but outside of that, did it need quite a bit of work done? Like, was the pretty good bones to the house?
Yeah, pretty really good bones. Yeah, the only thing that I did, I brought in all the furniture and had the walls painted, changed out the chandeliers, and that's it, honestly. Brought in, like I said, brought in the furniture, and it just looks completely just so different. Like when I, if I pull up Zillow and I'm like, what room is that? Just changing the paint on the wall, pulling up the carpet and changing the furniture. So no, constructionally have not done anything to the house.
Here you decide to buy this house and your dad's like, in 5 minutes? Yeah, I'll
yep.
Tell Steph I said yes.
Yep.
So was it with the intention of living there, or was it more of an intention of paranormal investigations or giving tours of it or renting it? Did you have an idea of what you wanted to do with it when you bought it?
Yes. I just wanted to do paranormal overnights. I just wanted to do what, like I had gone to Villisca. I've been there many times, but you know, where you just basically are handed the keys and then there's a house that you can investigate. So that was my only intention. I would not that I would never live in Atchison. I don't mean it like this, but I mean, I would never live in the villa just because I want people to just experience things and not have, I don't want to call it a babysitter, but I just want people to feel at home. And so I won't ever live there. I don't even stay when people stay. So my whole point of buying it was just for ghosts.
As far as like the paranormal stuff, since you bought this house and you wanted to do investigations there, what led you to that point in your life? Is that something you'd always been fascinated with? Had you had your own experiences?
I have not had an experience as a child. The reason I got into ghost hunting was I had gone to the Crescent Hotel. So I walked in and I saw, and I don't want to say idiots, but I'm going to go, all these idiots on a ghost tour. And I'm like, oh my gosh, really? But I never thought twice about ghosts. I never thought there are ghosts, there aren't ghosts. It just never crossed my mind. So then the next time I'd gone to the Crescent, I'm like, we are taking this ghost tour with all these other idiots. Well, the only reason I say idiots is because I never thought twice about ghosts, and not to say that I never thought they existed or didn't exist.
You hadn't had an experience.
Never had experience and never thought anything about it. So the first time we had spent the night at the Crescent, we were on third floor. And I remember waking up and hearing somebody ordering room service or room service being delivered to their room. And I thought, well, that's weird. Who does that? And I'm like, I went back to sleep. Then when I took the ghost tour and they talked about a squeaky wheeled gurney being pushed down the hallway between 3 and 4 in the morning. And like right now I get chills just thinking about it, just because it's something you can't explain. And that's what I like about it. Not just the scared feeling, but how do I explain that? Mm-hmm. And I couldn't prove it. I mean, cause I'm the only one that woke up and heard the noise, but I had told the person that was there. I'm like, oh my gosh, somebody ordered room service. I heard the cart. And then when we took the tour, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's what I heard. And that's what got me into like just wanting more, I guess. So I've been to the Crescent. Oh my gosh, I could probably give that ghost tour. I love that place.
I find it so fascinating that you became interested in the paranormal to the extent that you bought a 5,200 square foot mansion.
Yes.
You know, that's dedication.
And I would joke with people like, oh my gosh, if there were ever something for sale, I would do this in a second. But that's, you know, I never thought something like the villa would just happen. And I never, ever, I mean, it was just a joke, but a dream. Mm-hmm. And then once someone said this house is for sale and I looked at it and I'm like, what? So yeah, going from I heard a squeaky wheeled gurney to now I'm renting out my house is just crazy.
When you bought it, did you have to furnish it? Because
nope,
that's lot.
Yes, I did. I go, nope. Yes, I did. I brought everything in.
You brought everything in. So did you try to kind
everything.
Did you try to look for things that would fit the period of the house or the feel of the house?
Yes. At first, when I first bought it, I thought there is no way I'm going to be able to furnish this whole house. So the idea was to just do like one room or maybe two rooms in time period furniture. But once you do a room or two rooms, then three rooms, and you're like, you can't just half the house. You can't like just make, I mean, the whole house needed to be done. It just made sense. And so, lots of antique stores, lots of estate sales, lots of Facebook marketplace. And I still look at things. I mean, even 6 years later, actually one of the bedrooms had, the kids' room actually had a full-size bed in it. And then a couple years later, I found some amazing antique twin beds. And so I got the twin beds and now I have a full-size bed that I put in a different room. So I still find things and I add them.
Yeah.
I've never been an antique person. I mean, my house is like, if it's bright and weird, that's my kind of style. Very modern style. So antiquing is not my thing, but I'm loving it. Love every bit of furnishing that house. It's so much fun.
And it just hit me that, I mean, this is a house that if I was to drive past it, not knowing one thing about it, I would say that house is haunted. You know, you just, it looks like a haunted house, right?
So you
buy it with the hopes of it being a haunted house. But after you bought it, like when I bought my house, I thought, oh my God, what if I bought a haunted house? I don't want to buy it if it's haunted. It's not. But I had that, like at the closing, I literally asked the woman I was buying it from, I said, after we closed, I said, this might sound insane, but is that house haunted? And she goes, oh, no, not at all. And I'm like, okay, good, 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 good. Because I didn't want it to be. But in this case, what if you would have bought it and it wouldn't have been haunted? So did you have to spend some time in there?
Well, thank goodness it was already known for being haunted. It was on. So the previous owners, well, Mr. and Mrs. Girardi bought the house. They were the most recent owners. They bought the house in 1969, then did their renovations to it. Like there's a second kitchen on the second floor, or I use it as a break room, things like that. So they bought the house and, well, Mr. Girardi passed away in, I believe, 2006. And his wife, Selma, she passed away in 2014, I believe, both in the home, but she was on Channel 9 News talking to one of the news anchors about the house and talking about experiences. I don't know. It does look haunted, but thank goodness it was already known for being haunted. Plus, Atchison has a haunted trolley tour, and they, at the time, used the house as their advertisement for their haunted trolley tour. It's like, I think it's the first stop on their tour.
Oh, well, so that's a pretty good indication.
Yes. Yep. So luckily, it was already known for having paranormal activity in it. They also, Mr. and Mrs. Girardi, well, I think maybe more Mrs. Girardi, they might have had one event a year that they would have a paranormal team do an investigation. There are actually two teams that investigated the house before Mrs. Girardi passed away. And they actually gave me their evidence. One person sent me a picture. They captured an image of a man in the attic. And another team gave me their like SD card, I believe that's what it's called, SD card. I'm not good with that stuff. With all of their evidence that they captured. And they, I think they investigated in 2017. So one was in 2012, and then the next group investigated in 2017. So teams have captured evidence, and so that was good too. So that helped with my dad. Well, I think it eased his mind that it's already known for being haunted.
I love the fact that your dad's like, okay, other people are saying it's haunted. I want to find this for sure.
And it's funny that, well, it's not, I guess, funny, but my dad passed away April 2020. And so I tell people all the time that, well, I say it on every tour, and excuse my potty mouth, but when I give my tours, I will not exclude my dad because I wouldn't have it without him, and his ashes are there. And so I'll go by, he's in the primary bedroom suite in one of the cabinets. And I walk by during a tour and I tap on the glass and I go, Dad, stir shit up. And most of the time, so weird, and people just look at me like, oh my God, she's lost her mind. One, yes, I have. Two, I can't, I mean, I, like I said, I wouldn't have it without him, but that's his type of humor. So he would find that funny, but it also makes people a little uncomfortable. So,
I think it's awesome that he's there.
He is there. And people will tell me that, you know, your dad came through. He's so proud of you. And then, of course, I have to be a smart butt and go, then that wasn't him. but yeah, it is really cool that he's there. And people will, they message me and they're like, or they'll like his actually the anniversary of his death is coming up. And so, you know, I'll post like his birthday, and but people will say, tell Ernie hi, or I'll tell Ernie hi. It's like they know his name. He's part of it. And that feels good. He was only there once in the 6 years I've had the house. He was only there one time. He lives in Arizona or lived in Arizona. And so he never even saw the house when he was co-signing. And so that's really some blind faith. He must have really trusted me, which silly dad. But he, but yeah, just without even seeing it, said, okay.
Now, there have been several deaths in the house, including the couple who had lived there previously. Yes. I know you said he passed. I think you said he passed in the house.
Yeah. So we've had 9 documented deaths, and one of those was a suicide.
So with all of that, it makes you think maybe those are the people who are hanging around.
Right. You know, my dad used to tell me to make friends with them. And I'm like, dad, I don't do that in real life. I'm not going to do it there. And not to say that I'm not going to make friends with my spirits in the house, but I do walk in the house and say hi. And I ask, how'd you like the group last night? But I don't wait for a response. I'm good. So I don't know who all is there. When people ask and they get responses, lots of times it is not even a number. It's just the word a lot or many. Sometimes people will tell me there's over 100. Sometimes I'll say 10. There's a lot. I don't know who they all are, but I also say there's something that mimics people. I've heard my voice. It's not me. So when people say, oh, your dad came through, I guess my brain goes to, was it really him? I don't know.
Oh, that's interesting.
What if there's one person with like 100 different accents? I don't know. That sounds bizarre and weird. But, or what if there's all of these spirits, but there is something that mimics people. That is for sure. Actually, not too long ago, I heard, it was me on the recorder. It was Friday. Oh my gosh. It was just Friday. I had an event and a guy was on the second floor. He heard some shuffling around and he yelled, or not yelled, but he said out loud, is somebody out there? And it was my voice because I pulled up my security camera and you hear me go, what? But I was in the dining room talking to a friend. He goes, I heard you. And I'm like, nope, wasn't me. But I pulled up my camera and I'm like, oh, that was me. But it wasn't.
I've heard of people's voices being mimicked like that or their appearance. And I always find that really spooky because I don't know what that is or why that is.
I wonder the
pretending to be me.
Oh, yeah. 3 times now people have said, and it's when I've been at the house, like maybe I'm checking a group in and about to leave, or if I'm there with a friend just hanging out. 3 times now, though, people have said, what are you doing here? I thought you just went upstairs. And I'm like, no, I was outside. Like, no, I just saw you walking upstairs. I'm like, nope, wasn't me. And so to think that, I mean, people say doppelganger, that to me, I can't wrap my brain around that. Because if somebody saw, she's like, I saw your little pixie haircut, your blonde hair, you went up the stairs. And her daughter goes, she was outside. So that to me, that kind of freaks me out a little bit.
I get that.
That's a lot. Yeah.
And you know, with the house being used as a boarding house for a while, and then Atchison, way back in the day, you know, they had a lot of people through that town. It's right on a river. So, you know, back in the 1800s, when people are settling out west and they're coming through these parts, there was a lot of people in Atchison. So it makes you wonder if some of those spirits can go way back to then, because you don't know what happened before the house was even built.
Right. And, you know, there is, and so people talk about like Native American land. That's a big possibility. There was also the depot, the train depot, and the orphan train. So people, you know, talk about that. There is an article that I believe it's at, well, it's after Mr. McIntyre passed away in 1902. It says that his second wife, her name was Anna, her brother moved in to the house with his wife. And it said there were lots of children, but none of them had children. I mean, his second wife had three sons, but only one lived there. And he wasn't like, I mean, he's the one that committed suicide, actually. But I don't know who all these children are. So then I think, is it from the orphan train? I mean, we've captured babies crying at the house.
Oh.
Lots of kid voices, lots of kid singing or humming. Are they really kids? I don't know. Is it a portal? I don't know. Is it the orphan train? I don't know. So that it's when and I've had like TV shows call, and I'm not good at explaining the house. So when someone said the basement, like unclear, that's how I would describe the whole house. I can tell you who passed away there, but I don't know who all is there. There's a lot going on.
And I've talked to other places where they feel like people come and go, or spirits, not people,
yes.
But the spirits come and go, and they will be there for a while. You know, like people would have gotten off the train. So
right.
A lot of times back then, the train would stop overnight. People would get off and sleep, and then they get back on. So, you know, you think just the traffic that would have gone through Atchison back then, maybe that has something to do with it.
Mm-hmm. That could be it. That could, I mean, you know, when people, I know they said boarding house. There's one article actually called it an apartment building. Some stories in the paper are, or the articles, I'm sorry, the ads, taking out ads for a room for rent with private entrance. So I don't know if it was just people coming through town needing a spot to sleep just for the evening, or if they were renting them out for months at a time. I have some articles that state these three certain individuals are finished with the job they came in town to do. So now they're on to the next town. So, you know, people just passing through doing work and then keep going. So I don't know who all stayed. I know I can get owners' names, but the owners back then, they didn't live in the house when it was the boarding house. It was at least and that I've heard. I'm not sure if we talked about like, well, I don't live there, but every owner that's lived there has died there. So there's another little fun fact.
That's really interesting. So everybody owned it until they died there.
Yes. Yep. Every owner that's lived there. So the owners that during the boarding house, they did not pass away there, but just the ones that lived there. So why don't I live there?
Now we know.
Now we know.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation with Stephanie O'Reilly about the 1889 McIntyre Villa. For more information on tours and overnight investigations, visit their website, 1889mcintyrevilla.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, without the commercials, become a Gravekeeper. You could sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, or you could also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.